You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, yep, and the international covering down on all the issues. Solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, listen, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this whole section of the show Russian Roulette. I mean, we've had the most dynamic, fluid, and kind of freakishly interesting situation over the last few days as any I've ever seen. On the world stage. I mean, the very idea that a division-level group of mercenaries, of all things, with tanks and armored vehicles, trucks and supply trains, decide to leave the battlefield in Ukraine and just go north towards Moscow with intent to do harm. Take out 7 Russian aircraft en route and then just stopped. And everybody's like, what just happened? Well, keep in mind also, this is a nuclear nation. Makes it even more dynamic and more interesting. Someone coming on the show right now to lend his perspective, Major General Joe Arbuckle, retired 2-star, has been on the show several times. Not only did he have a long career in the military starting in 1969 as a private, retiring 32 years later with 2 stars, but during his tenure in service, he spent roughly the last 10 years on duty as an Army strategist, focusing on national-level strategy and logistics. And I thought, you know what, once again, let me reach out and see if General Arbuckle would want to provide some strategic level planning considerations and things that might be going on at the National Command Authority. Without further ado, let me welcome him back. General Arbuckle, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well, Colonel Phil. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Hey, thanks for making time today. I got to ask you, first of all, have you been tracking all this stuff in Russia over the last few days? Because it has been highly unusual, to say the least.
You're absolutely right about that. Yes, I have been, and we're picking up bits and pieces in an unfolding situation, as you well know. And so a lot about what we hear right now in the news media and read about on articles is speculation. We do know some facts involved with the situation, however. So right now, all of us are trying to piece together what is reality. And that's a difficult thing to do in a moving situation like this.
Oh, absolutely. But what we do know, though, is that we definitely had a situation with what amounts to a mercenary army, a division-level mercenary army with armored vehicles and all, deciding it was going to go ahead and just head towards their own nation's capital. And I got to ask you, sir, when we look at that with your experience at the strategic level, when we look at stuff like that, what do you think the U.S. planners were having to go through over the last weekend as they monitored this?
Well, there would have been, number one, some level of the National Security Council that would have been convened. And related to that, I heard a report today, of course, don't know if it's true or not, but I hope it is, and I would think so, that our own intelligence agencies learned around 10 June that Prigozhin was planning some sort of a coup. And so, assuming that's correct, our intel agencies had a heads up about 2 weeks ago that something like this is going to happen. And so, at that point, as I said, elements of the National Security Council convened, including the intelligence networks, Secretary of Defense, certainly Secretary of State representatives. And then they start going through the options. What are the contingencies here? What if Gosin actually gets into Moscow's worst case? What if he doesn't? What can happen there? And so the options are put on the table, and courses of action are developed around those particular option. So that's what they've been going through. But Phil, let me change the subject real quick to you. There's something that really is a mystery to me, and I've not heard it talked about much, and that is, knowing Putin's background, he's a KGB thug. We all know that. He's ruthless. He kills anybody that gets in his way or puts him in prison for life. And he also has a pretty good personal intelligence network. And I assume, and I think correctly, he had to have spies within the Wagner group to let him know what's going on with the leadership there. And I would assume that Putin knew to a pretty large degree what Shokin was up to. Now, if that's the case, then the question arises, why did Putin allow this to go so far without stopping it? And I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah.
That is a mystery. And it has to do with, I think, his relationship with Prigozhin. I think you covered that earlier, as being his chef and trusting him and being on his inner circle. But there may be more to it than that. And I kind of think that is the case. And on top of that, Putin knew that his own Ministry of Defense was in conflicts with the Wagner Group. And they were claiming that his Ministry of Defense was not providing the proper ammunition and other resources, causing casualties within the Wagner Group. So why did Putin allow that conflict to continue? That is a key question that needs to be addressed.
Now, I agree, sir, and of course it'd be speculation on my part, but I said briefly before the top of the hour, I cannot help but wonder, knowing that Prigozhin has been inside of Putin's inner circle for so many years and probably has communiques or some type of direct evidence of Putin being complicit in some of the war crimes that Wagner's been accused of. And I'm purely speculating. I don't know this, but I can't help but wonder if he's got a special file tucked away somewhere, you know, designed to be brought out to the rest of the world in the event that Prigozhin is found dead. And so Putin's got to know that there's things that Prigozhin knows he doesn't want the rest of the world to know.
That's certainly true. That has to be a major factor in this. Yeah, another mystery is, as you touched on earlier, is why did Prigozhin stop before he got to Moscow? And I think the answer to that is basically he realized he didn't have the backing that he needed within the Soviet military, particularly at the top ranks. And he may not have even had it within his own senior leadership within the Wagner Group. Reports I've read is that he had pretty good support from the lower level members of his group, but not so much so at the higher level. And here's another thing to consider in this. So Putin comes out right away in a speech and says, and harkens back to the 1917 revolution and says basically,
and we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, at least when the power doesn't go out. And anyway, thanks to all of you who are texting in, letting us know that you couldn't hear us or that we were going on and off. And I appreciate it. We got the systems back up and booted, I do believe, and General Arbuckle is back on the line. So let me go straight to the phones. Major General Joe Arbuckle. Hey, sir, thanks for hanging on. Apologize for the communications gap on our end.
Hey, no problem, Phil. I told Boomer you guys need to pay your electric bill.
Yeah, okay. Let me jump back in where we were talking a moment ago. This madness we've got going on right now in Russia, which is still unfolding. I mean, nobody knows where this thing ends. But give me your thoughts, if you don't mind, from somebody who's had to plan at the strategic level. What do you think's going on with regards to the fact that this is a nuclear nation where this unrest is taking place? Not just, you know, the level of ops that we may have to plan for, you know, proposed armed conflict, but what about securing nuclear facilities?
Well, that certainly ups the ante to the maximum level, of course, Phil. Nobody wants to see, number one, a nuclear, attached nuclear weapon used on the battlefield. And so this has got to be handled at the top level diplomatically. Between our country, Putin, and all the NATO allies involved, and anybody else we can bring into these discussions to find out exactly what's going on with the nukes, where they're at, and if they are secure. What my major current concern is, we heard a few weeks ago that Russia was going to move some of its tactical nuclear weapons back into Belarus in the form of rockets. And Lushenko basically said that yesterday or today. He said he's got the first shipment. He didn't say where they're at, but he did indicate there's more coming. Now, that has not been confirmed, but that's what he said. So that's a major issue that needs to be worked. We've got to get control of where those are at. And the answer from our standpoint, in my view, is not militarily. It's got to be diplomatically.
Well, I would agree with that, sir. And the question then becomes, you know, is our current, you know, diplomatic, our foreign policy staffing, you know, up to speed and able to get it done? But let me ask you this, sir, with about a minute and a half left. I mean, there's a lot of questions about whether we even have an end game in sight with the war in Ukraine. And what, you know, of course, this whole situation seems to have been a shot in the arm for the Ukrainians. But what are your thoughts on that as we wind up our time here today?
Real quickly, from the top level down, number one, this war should have never happened. The roots of it are traced back to our debacle in Afghanistan, where we cut and run, basically. And that sent a signal, as we said in a couple of letters to our allies and also to our adversaries across the world, we can't be trusted. And so it could have been avoided. That's number one. Number two, I have never heard a clear statement of the U.S. strategy regarding our involvement in Ukraine. All I hear is that we're going to give the Ukrainians everything they need to prosecute the war. Well, that's not a strategy. That's a course of action. Mm. And again, as you said, no one has defined what the end state is. In order to have a strategy, you have to have a strategic objective in mind. And once that's accomplished, then you've met your strategy. Well, I've not heard that other than to continue the fight, which means you're into a war of attrition. There's not going to be any winners in this, Ukraine or Russia. The one that's going to come out on top is the one that suffers the least losses, in my opinion. And that's not the way to fight a war, prosecute a war.
No, sir, it's not, proxy or otherwise.
Right.
Well, sir, I really appreciate your time, and I thank you for your patience. I mean, this is an unusual situation with having our power outage, but Major General Joe Arbuckle, we thank you for your input, and we look forward to having you on again sometime soon.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That was retired Major General Joe Arbuckle, who 10 years of his 32-year career were spent in strategic planning. I thought it'd be good to get the commentary of someone else who has sort of got a perspective on where we stand with what's going on in Russian roulette right now. All right, listen, we're going to shift gears. Coming up, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. We're going to be talking about what's next with drawing new congressional lines in Alabama. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.